Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, on to God's news behind the news and talking about what's happening with ISIS or ISIL, ISIL. You know, something that we have to just take some serious concern about. I mean, here you have this terrorist group that is the most funded, well-funded terrorist group that's ever existed. It's being reported that their net worth now is $2 billion with a B.
Who?
Wow.
ISIS, ISIL, yes, yes. They have taken over the oil fields. They're selling their oil on the black market. They're getting ransom money. I mean, the reason when they took James Foley, they were asking his employer to pay $130 million. And some people say, well, that's ridiculous. Well, no, they're getting millions of dollars from other countries in Europe when they were stealing and kidnapping their folks. And so here you have these guys that are well-funded. In fact, there is a video. We don't have it for you now, but maybe we may have that available for you on the Torch, where they're in Libya, Tripoli, jumping off of the balcony of an embassy, going swimming in the U.S. embassy that's no longer being occupied. They're swimming, diving off of it, and they're able to fund and recruit people now because they have all this money, and it's something that has to be dealt with. You know, they were and still are beheading Christians. They're beheading children. They're raping women, and it's horrific. And what's the big concern right now that many have been talking about, including Texas Governor Rick Perry, is that our borders have been so porous, they haven't been protected, that now that ISIS could very well be in the United States. Not too long ago, we talked about Minnesota martyrs, and those are in Minnesota, young men that are leaving the United States to go fight in Syria, to go fight in Iraq with ISIS, ISIL. They're there. They're there. And now the UK, one report was that they have about 500 people from the UK who have went over there to fight jihad. They are reporting about maybe 100 in the United States, and this number, you know, shifts all the time. But these guys have passports. They can come back into these countries and, you know, go ahead and do more jihad, and then we can have some attacks here. So there's a lot of discussion. I mean, the president said that he's still trying to formulate a strategy, still trying to formulate a plan. He's entertaining. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom is saying, no, we got a plan and we're going to deal with this. But I think it's a little bit too late. I mean, right now, we did on VFN TV, we talked about how Britain is saying now that they have to teach their values in the school system because there's so many Muslims and radical Muslims that they're trying to institute Sharia law and they're trying to basically change Great Britain. They came over to change it, not to be a part of it. And it's so important because we want as many people, if you feel that, you know, the United States is a place for you and for your family and the best place for you to prosper and do well, then come on in. But you come to be an American, you don't come to change it. You know, interesting, I'm trying to remember who said this, but it was an article that came out recently in terms of, they were quoting a former Chinese chairman from China that was retiring back in 2003 or 2005. And basically, the interviewer asked him, what do you want for your country in China? And reportedly, this guy who was leaving office says, I'd want it to be a Christian nation, to the surprise of, you know, the interviewer. And he says, well, why? He says, well, we did a study for over 20 years where all of our, you know, top scholars were researching why America has been so prosperous. So we've studied your political system. We studied your economic system, capitalism, and we just studied all these things. But we kept going back to it was the fact that your country has founded on Christian principles. That's what was the distinguishing thing that made it so awesome and so prosperous.
That.
And he says, that's what they came up with in their research. And he says, we need that in China.
That's amazing. Wow. How China's recognizing that. And we're just so blind to recognize it ourselves.
Well, think about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's okay for you to come to the United States. Don't try to change it. Mm-hmm. But when we get back from this break, we're going to hear from Prime Minister Cameron. We're going to hear about others, Stackelbeck, and how we're discussing the real threat that exists here today and how ISIL must be dealt with. We're going to go straight into this CBN segment as they discuss ISIL and basically the terror and the threat that exists right now. Listen, we don't need to be discouraged. We know that, listen, everything that is happening, God can let us know. God, Amos tells us that he tells his secrets to his friends.
Right.
He's going to let us know what we need to do so that we can be safe. We don't need to be fearful, but we do need to be informed so that we can take the necessary precautions and so that we can pray against this. Watch this.
Hello, I'm Mark Martin with this CBN News special, The ISIS Terror Threat. Today, Britain raised its terror threat level to severe, and Prime Minister David Cameron vowed to deal with homegrown Islamic terrorists. Meanwhile, the White House is not planning to raise the warning in the United States. Dale Hurd is in the newsroom with more. Dale, Cameron comes out with a strong speech against the terrorist group just a day after President Obama says the U.S. does not have a plan yet.
That's right, Mark. President Obama and Prime Minister Cameron are two of the most powerful leaders in the world, but appears they have two totally opposite views of this threat.
More gruesome video, courtesy of the Islamic State, the Muslim terrorist in Iraq and Syria. Some 150 captured Syrian soldiers, stripped to their underwear, being marched across the desert to their deaths. Another mass execution. It was just last week that ISIS showed the beheading of American journalist James Foley. The executioner in that video is believed to be a British national. In London today, authorities raised the terror level in the UK from substantial to severe.
But what we're facing in Iraq now with ISIL is a greater and deeper threat to our security than we have known before.
Prime Minister David Cameron pledged to increase Britain's security, describing the extremist threat posed by the Islamic State as more dangerous than Al-Qaeda.
We will respond calmly and with purpose, and we'll do so driven by the evidence and the importance of maintaining the liberty that is the hallmark of the society that we defend. But we have to listen carefully to the security and intelligence officers who do so much every day to keep us safe.
Cameron's strong statement contrasted sharply with President Obama's admission in a press conference Thursday that he didn't have a plan.
The suggestion seems to have been that, you know, we're about to go full scale on an elaborate strategy for defeating ISIL. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. We don't have a strategy yet.
The president downplayed the prospect of any imminent U.S. airstrikes in Syria. But while Mr. Obama tries to decide what to do, the terrorists of the Islamic State are not sitting still.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest says authorities don't expect to raise the threat level in the U.S. He also says the U.S. is monitoring the threat of foreigners fighting alongside militants in Iraq and Syria who could travel back to their home countries. Mark.
Dale's going to stay with us now. He is among a CBN News panel of experts who've covered events in these various parts of the world. Dale has reported from Europe on various topics, including the overall growing threat of terrorism there. We also have Eric Stackelbeck, CBN News reporter, terrorism analyst, and host of The Watchmen. Eric covers terrorism and homeland security extensively for CBN News. And George Thomas is a senior reporter with CBN who has traveled to many hotspots in the Middle East and elsewhere. George, let's continue the conversation with you. We heard Cameron's speech. Give us your thought on what he said versus what our president is saying.
Yeah, clearly, as Dale has mentioned in his package, you get two differing views from the White House and from 10 Downing Street. Clearly, what Cameron is saying, the line that caught me, he said that Islam, there's this poisonous ideology of Islamic extremism that is pervasive amongst the Muslim community at large. And clearly, Great Britain is very, very concerned. Why? Because the numbers say that close to 500 British passport holders are today fighting alongside ISIS in Syria as well as in Iraq. And so the big concern not just for U.S. intelligence, Western intelligence, but also for Great Britain, is that these guys battle, you know, they've got the battle techniques down. They know how to conduct guerrilla warfare. They know how to produce and build bombs that they could eventually come back to Great Britain, be able to travel across Europe because of their passport and create havoc. And this is the big concern. And no wonder he came out with such a strong speech today.
Yeah, very disturbing information. Let's go now to Eric Stackelbeck in our D.C. bureau. Eric, what is the message the president is sending here? I mean, why should all Americans, Democrat, Republican, Independent alike, be concerned?
I think President Obama is sending a frightening message, Mark, quite frankly, to say, look, in the wake of ISIS seizing Fallujah and Anbar province in Iraq back in January, and in the wake of ISIS seizing Mosul, Iraq's second largest city, in June, for President Obama to come out and say he does not have a strategy yet is astounding, astounding and frightening that our commander-in-chief does not have a strategy to tackle this imminent ISIS threat, Mark, as George just said. Thousands of Westerners, a few hundred by some accounts, Americans, have traveled to the Middle East to join up with ISIS, and one day, if they don't get blown up there, they will return home. And they're not returning home just to blend back into society, Mark. They are being sent here by ISIS to form cells to strike in the West. To me, it was distressing that our leader does not have a strategy yet. And I can tell you that ISIS was watching that press conference as well, and their eyes were lighting up. They feel pretty good about themselves right now, Mark. They have a lot of momentum behind them. And number two, ISIS is the richest terrorist organization in history. They're making, by some accounts, at least $2 million a day through the illicit oil black market in the Middle East, and by some accounts, Mark, they're worth overall up to $2 billion. Right now, this is a jihadi runaway train, and we don't have a strategy to tackle it. That's astounding.
It really is. Let's talk a little bit more about homegrown jihad. Eric, many think the president isn't taking this threat by ISIS seriously. You've said that. You've written a book called The Terrorist Next Door. Should we here in America be concerned about ISIS and other terrorists on our soil? Talk a little bit more about that.
Mark, I'll give you a great example. Look no further than Minneapolis, the Twin Cities of all places, where, according to some reports, up to 12 residents of Minneapolis have traveled to Syria to join ISIS and other jihadi groups. We just saw two U.S. citizens killed in Syria this week fighting alongside ISIS. That tells you all you need to know. If hundreds of U.S. citizens are traveling to Syria, Iraq, as George said, to get that battlefield experience, new military techniques, and they come back here, they can turn the U.S. into a battleground. I've said many times, Mark, it doesn't take a brain surgeon or a genius to walk into a shopping mall, say the Mall of America in Minneapolis, largest shopping mall in the country, walk into that mall, open fire, yell Allahu Akbar, start firing, bring in some homemade bombs. God forbid, of course, but it's not that hard to do. So if you have these battle-tested ISIS jihadis with those U.S. passports returning to U.S. soil, and by the way, Mark, that porous southern border, it's almost an advertisement for ISIS to come here and to strike. That's my great concern. And for the president to say he doesn't have a strategy to deal with that, wow.
Well, let's go to our newsroom again where we check in with Dale Hurd. What do the British understand that we don't, Dale?
Well, they have a big problem on their hand. They've been playing footsie with Islamic radicals for decades now, and now they have a parallel culture of a radical Islamic community with Sharia councils, marriages to little girls, and a lot of violent rhetoric that's been allowed, and now we have perhaps 1,000 or more Britons fighting with ISIS in Iraq and Syria.
Well, we have some images of pro-ISIS propaganda being handed out on the streets of London. Dale, is there anything the British government can do about this?
Well, the police say they're going to look into it. Big deal. The point is that someone would feel they had the liberty to pass that out in Britain. Meanwhile, you better not say that Muslim radicals are dangerous, because then the police might come to your door. Seems the police care more about multiculturalism and political correctness and being sensitive to other cultures than they do about terrorism, and they're going to have to make an adjustment there.
How do you think the British people are responding? I mean, have they waited too late to save their nation from the influence of Islam and terrorists?
No, but the longer they wait, the more drastic measures they're going to have to employ. Political correctness and multiculturalism is the luxury of a safe society. And when bombs start going off in the streets of London, suddenly that doesn't matter so much anymore.
Okay, I want to go now back to Eric and to George and ask you both to comment on this. What can the U.S. learn from Britain?
Well, Mark, I think from Great Britain, the U.S. can learn what not to do in the war against jihad, as Dale just outlined. Look, Britain, for the past two, three decades, has allowed this radical jihadist threat to fester in their country with insane, lax immigration policies where they are giving asylum to jihadists who are wanted for terrorism in their home countries. Not only that, Mark, in my reporting for CBN News on the ground in Britain, I covered how Islamic radicals who are calling for Sharia law in Great Britain are collecting welfare benefits from the British government. This is insane, and the number of mosques growing in Britain is far outpacing the number of churches being built there. Christianity is on the ropes in many ways in Great Britain. So I think the United States can learn what not to do. Britain has made a lot of mistakes right now over the past few decades. They're behind the eight ball right now. They have a problem that's really out of control. They have great intelligence services there for sure, but the problem is so broad in Britain. It's not just in London. It's even in the north of England. So I think if we're Americans, we're looking at our cousins across the pond and saying, wow, if we don't catch ourselves now, we will be where Britain is in 5 years, maybe even sooner.
All right, George, you've just...
Listen, we just listened to what's being reported about ISIS and ISIL. The truth is, and we've said it, you know, if we said it once, we've said this many times, if you wait, you're going to be bait. You know, if you wait, it's going to be too late and you're going to be bait. And the real issue here is that we can't wait any longer. We have to secure our borders. We have to deal with this terrorist threat. And it's, listen, we've talked about this extensively, that the enemy on the inside could be of a way bigger threat than the enemy on the outside. And so we keep trying to focus on what's happening over there. The truth of the matter is we need to be concerned about what is happening right here in these United States of America, because they're here, and we need to pray that all these networks would be uncovered, that they would be totally dealt with, and they would be totally gone so that we can protect our nation.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.